Welcome to Shasta County Elections, presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. Our intention with these programs is we've invited all the candidates to come in. They all have the same questions so that people can get some information and begin to understand the people that are running for elected office. Today I have in the studio Mike Gallagher. He's one of the candidates for District 5, and his other candidates that are running for the same office are Chris Kellstrom and Gary Oxley. I want to welcome you to the program, Mike.
Thanks, Lynn, for having me today. We finally worked it out.
Yes. Thank you for your diligence. I think it's important for the community to be able to hear from the candidates. And it's a way, community radio is always focused on bringing information to the community. So that's why we invited our candidates in. So one of the first things I like to ask, where did you grow up?
Grew up in Los Molinos, California, just about 40 minutes south of us between Red Bluff and Chico. I was born in Corning and was there till roughly 22-ish. I think I came to Shasta County, Redding specifically, in 1986 and have been in Shasta County ever since.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when you finished high school, what was your next step that you did?
Just went to work. In fact, I started prior to high school. My dad had a restaurant there in Los Molinos, and we learned how to work very early and learned how to work hard.
So I was going to say work hard for the restaurant.
You learn how to work hard. And when you work for your father, of course, you know, there's a little extra something on that you have to do, but really grateful for that. I would tell folks I didn't have a great high school experience. I'll own it at 61 and change. I'll own that. But just wanted to go to work and very grateful for all the jobs I had up until the point when I said at about 24, I said $6.25 an hour isn't going to make it. And I got to go figure out something to do. And so I went to a trade school in Arizona for HVAC repair. Ah. It was a great school, RSI Inc. Came back 6 months, had a certificate, and went to work in the HVAC industry and loved it. Did it for 13 and a half years and was a mechanic. And as I was sharing earlier off air, I worked on this particular building at one point. I did a lot of work for all the buildings in the city of Redding at one point. It was a great career. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we're very gifted to have our Redding production studio inside Old City Hall, which is where the Shasta County Arts Council is. It's right at 1313 Market Street, corner of Shasta at Market. And the first thing he said when we came in, he says, oh, I used to do the heating and AC in the here. Yeah. So pretty awesome. Yeah, it's a beautiful historic building. And so you went to trade school. Then by that time, you moved back to Redding or moved to Redding?
I was in Redding and just lived there for 6 months. My brother had gone through the same school, Tim Gallagher, who owned Gallagher's Heating and Air. I tell everybody he's the famous one. I'm just the politician. So there's that. Really proud of my brother. But he had gone through the school previous and got a job there in Mesa, Arizona. Ah. And so he had a little apartment and we lived together while I got through school. And then when we were done, I came back. So yeah, but never left necessarily residence here, just went to school for 6 months.
Yes. So what originally drew you to Shasta County?
A girl. Uh-huh. Met a girl in Chico and she moved up back up here. She was born and raised here and we got married and had a beautiful daughter who's going to be 36 soon.
Time flies, so doesn't it?
Moved back and unfortunately we did go through a divorce after many years. That was very difficult, but I've been married to my wife Deanna for 25 years and we're got 9 grandkids and counting, and we're just really thrilled to, you know, be here in Shasta County. It's home. I've been here for 40 years. I'm not going anywhere. This is home for sure.
So you also not only had the trade school, you had a lot of life education, figuring things out as you went along, huh?
Yes. And go into business for yourself after a while. You know, after 13 years, I had an opportunity. A great man showed me an opportunity to have a metal roofing company. Oh. So I did that. I did that from, I'm not great on years, but it's somewhere around 2000. I think it was 2002. And we did that till the crash of 08 hit. And that kind of just kind of went away, but did many, many roofs all over the county. And even in Trinity County, did quite a bit of work over there, which was really fun. I love that I love that area as well. As an outdoorsman, it was really fun to be in the mountains doing that work. And we did that. Was a great opportunity to have, for sure, to learn all the other things you don't know as an employee.
Yes. And you ran for elected office. Can you tell us why you chose to run for elected office?
Yeah, so we moved to Anderson proper in 2013 and love it down there. We'd had, for probably 5 years, we'd been looking at Anderson because we just did a whole lot of life there. Our church was there. All our kids went to youth group there. So we were there multiple times a week, if not daily. And then in 2011, I'll try to make this the quick version. In 2011, we were called to start a community center called the Mantor House in the Bruce Street neighborhood. So anybody that knows the Bruce Street neighborhood, it was generating about 80% of all the police calls for service for the city of Anderson at the time. So we created a faith-based community center, and we just showed up 4 days a week and loved on people and saw that whole community transform. It took about 7 years, but we saw really radical transformation, which was incredible to be a witness of, and lots of people came and volunteered their time and help and collaborated with the county to give them a place where they could come and do their training. We never took public money to do it, but we offered a place and they took advantage of that because it was right in the middle of where the folks that needed their services. It was really a blessing to get to do that. So that was 2011. We moved in 13, and in 2014, Baron Browning, who had gotten elected and appointed me as a planning commissioner. So I got to do that for 4 years, which I loved and really enjoyed that process. Then 4 years later, Norma Komnick had gotten reelected, but then got very sick very shortly into that next term. And so when she couldn't fulfill her role, they appointed me. They appointed me to the council. I ran unopposed about a year and a half later. I ran unopposed because the laws say you have to put your name on a ballot. But and then 2 years after that, I ran a full election. There was three of us in that race. Ran a full campaign, got elected, and I am finishing out this year. There'll be my last year on that 4 year term. So that's a lot of language to go. Yes, I have.
And was there something that prompted you, that inspired you to do that?
Service, you know, just my wife and I, and we've always just wanted to serve our communities wherever we were, you know, when we knew that was really important. The book says better to give than to receive. And so we've always tried to give back. And this was just a very interesting way to do it. I never aspired to go, oh, I think I should be in politics. And I think it'd be amazing to do that. I think it has been, but that was never my motivation.
Yeah.
But when that opportunity presented itself, truth be told, Lynn, I tried to say no.
It didn't work out.
And I'm trying to be obedient. And, but yeah, I actually was going to pass on the offer. And then two things happened. I ran into a guy in Lowe's on the last day to turn the paperwork in. And he said, hey, what have you been up to? And I said, oh, it's been this crazy thing. I've been wrestling to the ground, but I just said no. And he looked at me, he goes, oh, you'd have been great at that. And I was like, okay. And then less than 15 minutes later, Stan Newts called me and said, have you turned your paperwork in? And if you know Stan Newts, who's military, I was like, yes, sir, I'll go do it. So that's the long version of, but it's just been one of my greatest honors to serve the citizens of Anderson. You know, it's not easy. I'm sure many are aware of the struggles we've had or maybe having. But what an honor to serve not only the citizens, but also the amazing staff we have in Anderson. They're just a stellar group of people, and they've stuck with us through thick and thin. And it'll turn around. It always does. And we're going to be in a very strong position when it does. So I'm excited for that. I won't be there. No matter what, I'll be done in at the end of December. But again, just huge honor. So service. I think that's probably the word.
Primary.
If I'm answering your question with one single word, it's just to be able to serve. It's a real honor.
And faith plays a role in your life.
100%. Yeah. It's the anchor, right? Whether you want to or not, faith says, I'll do it because I was asked. He asked me, and I'm saying yes. Yeah. So.
And when you did that nonprofit organization there in the community, the center, were you serving as a minister? I'm just a person, not lay person in, that...
Nope, just lay person. Just we...
saw
part of that story was we were working with John Thompson years ago, who was doing Reading Transformation back... I don't know if you were familiar with Reading Transformation,
yes.
But we were kind of running with John and helping set up stages and just serving in that capacity because we were in Reading. And my wife, so what about South County? You know, what's going on in Anderson? And they said, well, go, we send you. And so they prayed over us and sent us to the South County. And that was kind of the beginning of, you know, really showing up in a different capacity in Anderson. But, you know, we served in our church down there for many years and in leadership at for a number of years. And so, but just, we just wanted to show up and meet people. You know,
we'd
hold the barbecue and just, we just want to know their names.
Yeah.
You know, what's your name? What's going on in your world?
Yeah.
Is there anything we could help you with? You know, that was kind of more of our strategy. And then when asked, what are you about? Then we could share who we were and our faith. And we never shoved that down anybody's throat. It's not what they needed.
It's not
they
needed on your agenda.
Yeah. It's always on the agenda at some point.
Yes.
Of course, because we're commissioned to preach the gospel to everyone. But when it's appropriate, and we saw wonderful outcomes in that, you know, it was really, really a treat to get to do that. We count that as a real gift. And then, of course, to work with so many people who just showed up to volunteer their time.
Yeah.
You know, their energy to serve underprivileged people, underserved people. We kind of really focused, you know, it was kind of hindsight, but we were realizing after quite a while, we're actually trying to help people from going homeless. We weren't necessarily in the homeless space at that time, but it was the parents living with a child in an apartment because they got booted out or something like that. So we saw that a little bit, but really just working with them and teaching life skills and budgeting and, you know, social, relational skills, you know, those kind of hard, soft, I guess you would call them soft skills that some of us, not that we do it great, but, you know, we had a good portion of that. You know, my parents are still together at 93 and 90. They modeled, you know, you stick it out through the tough times. And a lot of them just didn't have some of those soft skills instilled in them. So we were able to come along with lots of help and teach people. There's, you know, you can learn that.
Yeah.
It's just a learned skill.
Yeah.
And
exposure.
Saw fantastic outcomes. So
yeah, that's
really, really
rewarding work.
Very rewarding work. And then after about a decade, it just kind of tapered off and we realized, okay, that was a season. That was great. And we saw the actual neighborhood transform. We saw the drug dealers move out and that house got remodeled and then a family bought it and moved in. And we saw that it took a while, but then we saw that whole community transform. Price, you know, one of the indicators is real estate prices rose up a bit, which was, you know, which is an indicator that things are turning around and it's a neighborhood that, but one night I had to work on the house late. I was remodeling the house. Not one street light in that neighborhood was working.
Wow.
So I was able to call my friend at PG&E and said, hey, do you know anything about that? 2 days later, every street light was working, you know, and that's that connections, those what, connections that we got to pull on through that season. It was really good.
Yeah. So what inspired you to run for Shasta County Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, again, obedience is better than sacrifice, I think is what the book says. So, but I've said this before, Lynn, if I thought it was going well at the board chambers and if I thought the board majority was doing the right thing by the county, I wouldn't run. I would finish Anderson. I would champion them. I would put me in coach, you know, let me help. I'll, we want to serve and we feel like the county level is probably the next level of service. But I don't believe that's happening. I think there's some real challenges there, in spite of what we hear being said. And so I think I'm called to bring the experience that I have, which is 12 years at the city of Anderson, you know, through planning commission and all that. So I think I can bring those skills forward and what I've learned, and there's still a lot to learn. I'm not going to tell people, oh, I've all that in a bag of chips. You know, I've got this figured out, but some of the things we've done in Anderson, we could really apply at the county level. And I think we would see similar outcomes, which is public safety is really important.
Yes.
If you want to build 400 homes in a small city, then you make sure your police department is operating correctly. And then lo and behold, a couple of years later, you know, many, many homes were built, and that just has improved. And now you know, that brings a company like Crown Ford to look at a property in our city. And we're very excited about that. We're really hoping that plays out. But we saw 7 businesses come to our little city, you know, so we're proud of that. That was a big team effort, though. That wasn't Mike Gallagher. That was just going, what are the things we need to do together to create an environment where folks want to be there? They feel safe. They know they are safe because, you know, the crime rate has dropped and yes, those kind of things. So I think those can be applied at the county level, and I think we'll all benefit from that for sure.
It sounds like a rewarding opportunity you had that you stepped forward because of a need, and that's what you're doing now here.
Yeah.
Other than the stuff you've already talked about, were there any other commissions or boards that you served on?
Yeah, served on the RABA board for a season.
That's Reading Area Bus Authority, yep, for the City of Reading.
City of Reading. Well, yes. It's a joint powers agreement between, I believe it's Shasta Lake, City of Reading, Anderson, and the county. Yeah, and watch that budget explode over a number of years, and I won't dive too deep into that. We're represented beautifully by Councilmember Simmons now, so I'm really proud of her to step up and take over and see on that board. I've also served on the CERTA board.
So CERTA is what?
Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, which is our local Metropolitan Planning Organization. You said no acronym, so I'm going to give you the full.
Good.
The full, whoop, that's my phone.
People don't know what that is.
Yeah, so it's a planning organization that works with Caltrans, and the funding comes into the county through CERTA, and then it gets dispersed into the projects that we want to accomplish in Shasta County. And so, yeah, it's been a great opportunity to learn a lot and how it works and how you have to plan. You have to have a plan before you can get the money to spend on the projects. So I'm passionate about infrastructure, so it fits my personality for sure.
And that was because you were serving on the city council for City of Anderson, correct?
And that is, yes, exactly. As an appointee. Our council onto that to represent Anderson on that board. Yeah.
Yes. So, if you just joined us, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. We are here in conversation with Mike Gallagher. He is a candidate for the Shasta County Board of Supervisors for District 5 and has been serving on Anderson City Council for how many years?
Well, 7 and counting.
Yeah, yeah. So he's running for office, so we have him here, and we were asking all the candidates that are running for District 5 and actually the other district as well all the same questions. So what is your political affiliation?
Yeah, so I've gotten to say this a few times on the campaign trail. I, at about 29 years old, I decided I should probably figure out how government works, you know, what is going on. And, you know, it's just head down working, trying to, you know, feed myself and my
family
and a young daughter at the time. So just the conservative side of the aisle was attractive to me. It aligned with how I thought and my sensibilities, and so I've been a registered Republican my whole political life, starting around 30. So just conservative thinker, conservative, fiscally conservative, socially conservative. But I like to let people know, you know, I was raised by two very, I would even use the word staunch Democrats. You know, my parents, my dad taught school for many years before he opened his restaurant there in Los Molinos. And my mom is pretty well known in the Tama County Democrat Party. You know, she's fought hard for that party for as long as I can remember. And I'm proud of them. You know, we rarely talk politics, by the way, because but I love my folks. And at 93 and 90, you know, they've served their communities well, and I'm proud of that. And I know whether, you know, we don't agree on political topics, but their service and how they've shown up, and it taught me
show
up.
It.
Yeah, I absolutely respect that. And I love them. I know there was some stuff out there online that, you know, rejected my parents. It's social media. I didn't worry about it, but I just want people to know I love my folks and they're amazing and they showed up, you know, they continue to show up. My mom worked for Head Start for, I think, 30 years. So yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So really the main reason you picked that political affiliation because the conservative agenda really appealed to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So let's imagine that there's differences of perspectives. Oh, yeah, like you'd never encounter that. When there's differences of perspectives or there's conflict, what approach do you have in working with that?
That's a great question. I've been talking to folks out there, knocking on doors and talking to folks. Then it's this. Agreement can't be the goal. And yet that's what I see in Shasta County politics right now. If I don't agree with you or you don't agree with one thing on my that I talk about, then there's no relationship. Well, if we talked for 10 minutes, we could find something we disagree on.
Right.
Right. Everybody, that's just
human nature.
It's human nature. It's our life experience. And so what I'm pushing for is let's find what we do agree on. Let's have a conversation long enough so I can understand where you're coming from and you can understand where I'm coming from, whether we agree on that topic or not, but to get understanding, because every time I've been able to do that, especially with folks that I don't agree with, at the end of that conversation, I mean, yeah, you didn't, I don't agree, but I learned something every single time from somebody who has just a different perspective. What I see going on at the board chambers is these two groups that are just lobbing gas Molotov cocktails at each other verbally, and we're not getting anywhere. And it's, I know I have supporters in those chambers, but we're not getting anywhere when we do that. Like I've said this 100
it's
times.
It's detrimental to success.
Who's carrying the bucket of water? I see a lot of gasoline, but I'm not seeing any water. And I think water would be appropriate, mm-hmm. you know, especially in the board chambers. And one of the things I'm running on is, that is the tip of the spear. That's where everything starts. So when you have a board majority that operates as I'm seeing, I'm showing up to the meetings and I'm watching this happen, how can we expect anybody else to act different? You know, the expectation is we have to be civil. We have to have some respect. A little decorum goes a long, long way. You can disagree. Completely disagree, but if you're respectful and you just go, okay, that person's perspective is different than mine. So is their life experience. So is all the things they've been through and have, you know, different than me. I think it's just vital that at the top, you know, we set the example, you know, the great leadership. Oh gosh, now I just lost his name. Said, yeah, everything rises and falls on leadership. So it's the example that leadership sets.
That makes all the difference.
I'll come up with his name about the time I walk down those stairs. but yeah, I think we have to change it at the board level, because they are, I mean, if you look at the org chart, it's the Board of Supervisors at the top. And I think that we have to change that. And soon, I think we're at a critical point.
And I do think sometimes people don't realize the importance of local elections, because who you elect in the office determines what's going on in your community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always encourage people that have never voted or are registered but don't vote. Mm-hmm. That is imperative to the well-being of our community, that we all show up and have a voice and participate.
Yeah. And do it and be respectful and have and speak clearly and drop some of the accusation, make your point, you know, spend more time making your point and what you're passionate about than just flat out accusing, because that's the easy part.
Yes. You know? Yes. And I think we hear each other better when we're respectful.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's proven. It's scientific even.
Yes. And I've always, shared with people from my perspective, our differences are our strength, mm-hmm. if we use it right, because it allows us to grow and to learn by listening to someone else who has a different perspective. You may not agree with it, but just by the fact that you're listening and tuning in helps you to function better.
Yeah.
Both.
and not to listen to respond. I'm a mechanic, so I want to fix stuff. I was talking to somebody the other day. My wife isn't necessarily impressed with that. Sorry, honey, about all those times I just wanted to fix it. But I'm learning to listen to understand, not to necessarily respond. Now, conversation requires a response. I get all that, but I'm learning and working at. I want to make sure I hear you. So ask a good clarifying question. Yeah. Did I really hear you? Is this what you're going after? Like, those are important things. And I know the system in government and politics, and especially in the board chambers, isn't necessarily designed for that per se, because it's 3 minutes. You get your 3 minutes and you have to sit down and be quiet, and we can't have dialogue back and forth. But I really believe it's outside the chambers as I meet with District 5 voters and people who are engaged in their communities. That's where we're going to really see some dramatic shifts in them feeling heard, feeling understood. It goes a long ways. And then we can collectively come up with what's best for that group of folks in that, you know, Cottonwood, I'm finding, is very different than Shingletown.
Yeah.
You know, they have different needs, different desires, different concerns. Different than Happy Valley, you know, mm-hmm. although Happy Valley and Shingletown, there's some similarities there, but there's differences as well. You know, you have timber up in Shingletown. You don't necessarily have that out in Happy Valley. So it's just been interesting to kind of go, wow, this is a very diverse district as well. So, and I'm excited about that. I love that stuff. Cause I love being in the mountains and love being on the lake, you know? So it's going to be exciting, and I'm really looking forward to the job. For sure.
Excellent. Excellent. So when you think of Shasta County and the challenges the county is facing, what do you think are the major ones that come up to mind for you when you think about it?
Yeah.
One you've talked about, actually, the government right now is an issue.
Yeah. I think it's paramount that we get our chambers back in order, and that's that the public will have to participate a little bit. Help me out. Help me out, people.
Yes.
Help me help you. As was coined in a movie one time. You know, I think secondly, public safety for me, because of our experience in Anderson, it's a core issue. It has to be. And I see public safety as not just the sheriff's department for the county, but the DA's office. I don't know if you're familiar, but we've lost 3 DAs recently to Butte County. That's a
funding
critical mass. We've hit critical mass at this point because we've already probably lost some in the past and we were short staffed, and now we've lost 3. They're all qualified in my, I didn't go to law school, so they're qualified in my book. I'm not there to judge whether they're good or bad. But this is a critical piece of infrastructure that, service that we can't do without. And so, public safety is, and probation and the jail and all the things that are incorporated in public safety. It's not just the sheriff's, although that's a major piece. So, I think that's critical to the well-being of the county overall. I know there's a lot of talk about a doctor's facility and a bridge, and I'm not going to launch too hard on that topic, but I think there's other things that we have to figure out. And maybe in June, when we go through the budget hearings and decide where we actually are at with our county budget, we'll have a better idea. And I think, and I'm okay to wait and see. I don't think the county budget is as rosy as some would like to portray. I've read the first 85 pages of it, and last year they were going, I think it's sure safe to say the state of California is not doing well financially, so that's going to trickle down.
It trickles down.
We're an extension of the state, so I don't want to accuse, as we've been accused in Anderson. That's not necessarily my role to play, except that I think it will be very interesting then to see in June, early June, where they land with the budget and what headwinds we have. So I think those are very important. Of course, wasteful spending is on my top 3, wasteful spending. I got to do a great interview with Jenny Ray LaRue, who's Cal Doge, and she's asking really hard questions like, where is the money?
Yeah.
What did you spend it on? I think those are very valuable questions to ask. And into the interview, I said, we're not attacking people, but we are asking hard questions of where did the money go? Because it's our money, it's our tax dollars, and we should know. And so I'm really proud of the work that Jenny Ray is doing.
Plus, it's a responsibility of government to really use funds in a respectful way, in a responsible way. And then I know that mental health, you look at Shasta County in our adverse childhood scores, we're higher than the state and higher than the nation. Yep. So mental health is a huge issue.
Huge. I was getting there. Yeah, I was going there because of our recent experience in Anderson with a project that was disappointing. Nobody's denying that. I don't know anybody that's stood up against a project that said, oh, we don't have a problem. No, but the answer to that, as I've shared before, is, you know, you have to have the right project that's going to help the most amount of people. We probably aren't going to reach every single person with a mental health issue, but we have to figure out the right project and where it's going to go. That's a huge piece of, we have multiple things in our county right now that is dependent on where they're going to go. So we have to have the right place. And I believe we have to set aside the opioid money that we have and have that as a set aside as matching funds, because that's, we all know that's how it works. The state gives a grant. We have to match those funds. We should probably have $3 or $4 million of those matching grants set aside so that when the state, if the state decides to look back at Shasta County and go, we should have a facility there, we have a shovel ready project with the right place and the matching funds, and we could have something built in a relatively short period of time. And that's the approach I will take for sure, because that's how it works in government. Yeah. If you're ready to go, they will fund those projects. But definitely. And then part of that topic, and Lynn, if I can, real quick, I'm not sure where the clock is, but and then of course domestic violence. You brought up the ACE score. That's a huge part for me. I know we're higher than the state average in Shasta County, and we need to push on that one. Yeah. That's something I think it's a collaborative effort. You work with the police, law enforcement, you work with the DA, you work with probation, you work with the day reporting center, and you bring all those great people together and you come up with a collective idea so that we're not in silos, but we're actually working as a unified group to bring those numbers down, because that draws down on every resource we have in the county.
Yeah.
That one thing. And there's lots of those one things, but that's one that I'm passionate about. So.
Yes. I'm going to do a station ID. When I come back, you know, you're talking about the importance of money comes in from the state and having funds available when you get them so that you can leverage more grants. And so I'm going to ask you about how you view the relationship between the county and the state. Is having a good working relationship important? If you just tuned in, this is a segment of Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I'm your host and producer, Lynn Fritz. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. We're here in conversation with Mike Gallagher, a candidate for District 5, Shasta County Board of Supervisors. The other candidates running are Chris Kellstrom and Gary Oxley. So do you think having a good relationship with the state is important?
Yes, and I had a wonderful person brought me up to speed a little bit. It's been a little contentious because in the city of Anderson, we've seen the state overreach on housing, for instance. You know, they mandate certain things. They don't give you funding for it, but they say if you don't, you know, create
X
like more Section 8 housing, then we're going to fine you. So bring up your rules in your muni code, you know, your municipal code, to say that that's okay. And that's you know, whether people are for or against Section 8, it's the overreach of the state to tell a city what in my opinion, it's been overreach.
But you still have to work with it. That's a challenge.
Well, and you have to, I've said this many times, Lynn, we have to work with it under the threat of a fine of $10,000 a day. So they didn't give us options. They said, do it or else. And that's a little frustrating as somebody who wants. We have a wonderful Section 8 housing project coming to Anderson. It's for the elderly. I think it's going to be a really good project. I think the company that's going to build it and operate it over the long haul, they're very skilled at what they do. They bring in the wraparound services. So I'm really actually encouraged that we're going to have something for the elderly, because when I see folks on the street that shouldn't, I mean,
Yeah.
This is America, for goodness sakes. A 62-year-old woman should not be living in her car, right? It just shouldn't be happening. So the fact that we can make a dent in that in Anderson, I voted yes for that project. So, but then there's other Section 8 that I'm concerned about. But that being said, this wonderful person, local person, was kind of like, Mike, you can't be so hostile towards the state. You know, you have to look at that as what it is. They do fund.
They hold the purse.
They hold the purse. And there's actually really good people that work for the state that want to do good things. And I realize, you know, taking that little bit different mindset of, okay, and we had a season where really strong people would show up at the state and they were heard. Don't forget Shasta County. You know, we have needs up there and we need some of that funding, and they would get it. And we would see those funds come into Shasta County even before my time in politics. So I think we need to get back there. I don't think we can, you know, close the border of Shasta County and survive unless right. we own the dam. Maybe my thought, yeah.
But you don't.
Maybe the feds will give us the dam and we could operate that. We'd probably generate enough revenues to pay the bills. But that's probably not going to happen anytime soon. So finding the grace, I will say that, finding the grace to work in the system and do the best we can for Shasta County while owning, hey, we need to ask ourselves hard questions.
Yeah.
You know, is there places we're spending money that we could do better? I think that's a viable question.
Yeah.
No accusation, no guilt, no shame. Let's do better as a group. Mm-hmm. And so I really see my role as that, as just to encourage that. And I know that morale is a very huge issue. I'm probably jumping topics. I don't know if that's on your list, but I've heard too many times now that morale in the troops throughout the county is not where we need it to be. You know, those folks are showing up, doing their work, working hard. They need to feel a little more appreciated. And I think there's an environment throughout our county right now with our county workers that's not the case. And that grieves me because I feel like we've done a really good job with that in Anderson. You know, those wonderful people down there have stuck with us even when it was tough, and they stayed because we've seen really good people transfer in, you know, because they were like, that's the environment I want to work in. Mm-hmm. And it is about money. That's always a piece of it, but that environment is so important. We've learned over the years, so I think that's something we can do better as well.
Yeah.
You know, creating
I do think the leadership in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and all the chaos and tumultuous stuff that's been going on trickles down into all the communities, into all people, whether they're conscious of it or not. I just think that's how things work. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, and I'm going to ask you to, what do you think about voter fraud transpiring across our nation? Do you think it's an issue?
I've said this many, many times, Lynn, so this is not a new statement for Mike Gallagher. I don't think we have voter fraud. I don't think the voters are fraudulent. I would like to see some election reform, and I've said this many, many times. It's not new for Mike Gallagher to make this statement. I'm talking about it out there as I knock on doors and talk with people. I'm a believer that we all should be as citizens of the United States to vote. I think that's really important because I can't go to any other country on planet Earth and vote as an American. It doesn't work that way.
But that makes me think that you think there's non-citizens voting.
I just want to make sure we don't have that. So put some things in place that make sure, and I know we have some...
Well, you have to register. You have to have driver's license. You have to proof.
Yeah. But making sure that that's not being circumvented, just make sure... I think that one's important for me. I don't think that one is important for me. Let's make sure and do whatever it takes to make sure that everyone that casts a ballot is an American citizen. We have a great process to become an American citizen, and we should follow that. And that's where I'm at. And I think that would be a great place to start.
The hard part is there's been a lot of stuff brought up that there is fraud occurring, mm-hmm. especially when we're talking about local elections.
Yeah.
When there's no real proof.
Yeah.
It's difficult, isn't it?
It's very difficult because it would be great to, if If there is, then show me. That's really important. But I'm not opposed to taking steps in the direction of, let's make sure that we can not let it happen to begin with, you know? And I don't know.
But
I think I'm not the expert on this topic, Lynn. Let me just say this, but I think, custody, ballot custody is something else, because I remember I just actually heard that right there in the Galaxy neighborhood in Reading, they found a big pile of ballots.
Is that factual or is it just rumor?
I didn't see them, but I remember back there was one year, and the reason it was so important to me is because we used to go to a camp up at Highway 9, so in Santa Cruz County, and there was this canyon with hundreds of ballots. Those folks didn't get to vote because somebody in the U.S. Postal Service decided to throw the ballots into the canyon. And so,
well, now we have a system where they track your ballot and you can sign up for it, and it tells that it goes in.
Yes, exactly. But, I think that's really important.
In Shasta County, over 60 years, we had 3 registrar voters. The last one was 19 plus years.
Yeah.
And in 3 years, we've had 3. And so, to me, it stands for a call for stability.
Yes.
But the hard part, when people talk about voter fraud and say we need to have the checks and balances, 60 years? Tried and true. So it's an interesting dilemma.
It is. And it, unfortunately, in the current environment, it's very divisive, right? We have and I'm a big fan of, hey, bring people along. We don't have to your point, Lynn, 60 years, maybe we just take one step in the right direction. We bring everybody along. I've said this, and so again, nothing new to your listeners. I think the big mistake was made when we didn't hold a special election.
Yeah.
When Kathy Darling Allen, and I would even say maybe Kathy shouldn't have ran that last time. I don't know what the circumstances were in her life, so I'm not accusing Kathy Darling Allen of anything, but irregardless, she won an election, then stepped aside. We should have held another special election. That would have eliminated all the spending that we're having right now versus appointing.
So you know that she stepped down for health reasons.
I do. Yeah. Okay. And so
just want to make sure we're clear.
Yeah. But I think when it comes to a position like the Registrar of Voters, you don't appoint.
A special
election. You let the people choose. And we could have avoided a lot of chaos if we'd have held a special election and just put somebody in here who the voters wanted. I've said this in my first forum. Measure B is in the hands of the voters. A group of folks went and got the petition signed. They got enough. It went through the court system a couple times. It's on the ballot. And that's, I said, this is what separates us from many other places in the world. Folks went out and did the hard work that it took to get, and now it's in the voters' hands, which I think we should have done with the registrar way back before they appointed, I think it was Tom Toler that they first appointed. So we could have avoided a lot of stress and strain and division by just saying, we're going to hold a special election. Put your name on the ballot. If you want to change, get out there and run a campaign, you know, like. So I think now that's hindsight, and we're not there today. But to your question, I would like, as a conservative, I feel like this is important enough that if there's areas we could improve, ballot custody, security, I think we should maybe consider, at least have the discussion about it. I'm not going to choose. I don't get to, by the way, as a board of supervisor, I just get to fund the department. And, you know, that's why that's an elected position. And that's why it should have always been elected. We should have never appointed that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. I will tell you, it's different than a city council member in the city of Anderson. It's a far different animal. So,
Yes.
There's that.
I'm going to do a station ID. When I come back, I'm going to ask you, is there anything else we haven't talked about that you hope to achieve if you're elected to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors? Mm-hmm. If you have just joined us, this is a Shasta County Elections presented by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. I am Lynn Fritz, your program producer and host. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and a volunteer at KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio. We're here in conversation with Mike Gallagher. He's a candidate running for District 5 Shasta County Board of Supervisors, currently serving on Anderson City Council. The other candidates for the office in District 5 are Chris Kellstrom and Gary Oxley. So is there anything that you think of that you want to express that you hope to achieve if you're elected to office that we haven't maybe talked about already?
Yeah, well, I've made it a point not to make campaign promises, Lynn, because I did make one. I got to go to the Anderson Rotary, and they said, when are you going to join Rotary? And I said, if I win on June 2nd, I'll join Anderson Rotary. That's the only campaign promise I made. So, but I would love to see us we have talked about, but I would love to see Shasta County become the, I say it this way, Lynn. I think if we can become the big brother that we once were to our surrounding counties, because I think we had the higher population, we had more revenues, we have, you know, larger area. And I think our surrounding counties depended on us to be operating at peak performance and reestablishing those connections with those other counties, because I'm a strong advocate that if we can approach Sacramento as a unified group, we could do great things for Northern California. Northern California is pretty much anything north of Sacramento, because I grew up in true Northern California. So yeah. I'm sorry, San Francisco, you're not in. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. You're not in. You're central. But reestablishing those great relationships with our surrounding counties, so that when we talk about water, or we talk about energy costs, or we talk about our roads infrastructure or wastewater issues, we have a collective voice in Sacramento that says, hey, we need the resources, and they'll respond, because they're not just talking to one person from one county in you know, at dinner. We have to have that collective voice to have strength when it comes to Sacramento. I'm convinced of that. And I think if we can achieve that, that would be amazing, because I think we once were there, and that's where I would love to see us get back to as a county. And that's a joint effort. That one person can't do that. You know, it's just, well, one person can try, and we've probably seen the effect of that. So, and that's not working out so great for the rest of us. So I think if we can collectively come together, what are the top three items that we really need to get across to the folks that are holding the purse strings in Sacramento of what our northern counties need collectively, you know, I think we could see that turn around, and we can, I was saying earlier, you know, the wonderful person who kind of said, Mike, you know, maybe your approach needs to be a little different. You know, they're not necessarily the enemy, because you have to work with that, and learning to work with folks that you don't agree with is actually freedom.
and an art form.
Good.
You know, if you're in an adversarial relationship with someone that you are dependent upon, this case we're talking about is the state, that's going to make getting along and working together near to impossible. If we can recognize that we may think differently, we may even at times object to the decisions they make that we feel are not in the best interest of our community or our county. To say it respectfully, they're going to hear you better than if you become adversarial. And to build those collaborations, you know, like you talk about, I have this relationship over here. This person can help us with this. Or this organization can help us with this. Because like you say, we are the hub up here in Northern California. And so building those relationships, I think, is imperative regionally as well as with the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it took took me a minute. I'll tell you this. When I was mayor a couple of years ago, I was mayor, and I spent about a month and a half that was my identity. Oh, it's like, I'm the mayor of Anderson, you know, like, no, this is something I'm doing, you know, and really had a shift. It was about, give it 6 weeks. I don't know if that's natural. I tell you that, Lynn, because when we realize this is a job we're doing and it's not necessarily who I am.
Yes.
It's something I'm getting to do. I'm getting to serve. I'm getting to collaborate with folks. It takes that me out of it and we can get things done, because I'm not a marriage and family therapist. I've been to a marriage and family therapist. Thank you for that industry. It was beneficial and helpful at the time. But I'm not the expert in that field. So being able to communicate and go, help me understand, you know, I think we were talking about, you know, Aaron Reznor's 10 years of serving on CASA. You know, I'm not the expert when it comes to CPS and the court system, but Aaron Reznor is. Yeah. So I will go to her and go, from your perspective, help me understand. You know, I think that's critical because it's a big part of our society as well. We know in Shasta County, we have maybe a larger percentage of folks who are struggling a little bit in life. And so having understanding for that, so I've been very fortunate in my life to have surrounded myself with really, really solid friends who are smarter than I am.
Which is smart of you.
and I gain from that every day. Yeah. I've had friends who might have been out on a fishing boat and they said, hey, dude, you're out of whack. Like, you need to shift your thinking, bro. And I was like, I was. And it was helpful. Friends that will actually, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and having great relationships with people who have served this county for many, many years as well, and who are since retired, but are still that voice of wisdom and reason and encouragement for me. I cherish that, and I will draw on that every single time, because I, you know, we don't know it all. We have our wheelhouses, and we should stay there and fight hard in those. But we're also called to try to understand those other areas that maybe isn't our strongest suit. But get with those folks who are the experts in that.
Yeah.
Listen, we have wonderful folks who work for the county that have been doing it for a while. I'm going to ask them questions.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important.
Their input, their expertise, their lived experience. Yeah.
But they have all the right. If I ever go tell them how to do their jobs, they can come on Lynn Fritz's show and call me out. Because that's not, I'm not, if I can accomplish anything, I don't want to be that guy that goes to somebody that's worked in HHSA for 10 years and try to tell them how to do their job. That's out of bounds for me. Or the road department, for instance, or, the many others. But to encourage and to bless and to help, you know, help them do their jobs better. That's what I'm all about, for sure.
I have a couple questions before we run out of time.
Okay.
Why do you encourage people to vote for you?
Well, if they're watching what's going on in the chambers, you know, and even though we've had some contention in Anderson, you know, I think it's how I operate in the board chambers is number one. We have to get that back. That's we've got to get back to a peace and a conversation. Again, it wasn't about agreement. That's a big one for me. I think how I've operated in Anderson and how I've worked with folks, not against, and encouraged and been a team player, I think it's critical right now. I think the board majority is not hearing very well. I think that's pretty clear.
And you know, it's troubling too when you see accounts happening across our nation that focus on what's going on in the board chambers, the discord and the tension.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we're not getting great write ups for all the great things we're accomplishing, and I think there's too much energy going into some things that we don't have the resources or the time to be talking about a bridge right now. I'm sorry, Kevin. Stop. We need law enforcement. Go out to Eastern Shingletown. They want a patrolman.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not throwing Mike Johnson under the bus. He needs the resources to send an officer out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think our focus is off. I think it's very self-centered right now from the board majority, and that's got to shift. We've got to shift that. So, I think a vote for Mike Gallagher is a vote in the right direction that says we can collaborate, we can have great conversations. Tell me what we need. Yeah. And we'll work on that together. I often say don't, and I often say don't expect government to fix the problems.
We have government to do it together.
But when we work with the constituents in our District 5, and when we understand what they're really going after, and they have enough space to actually communicate what their real heart issue is, let's get there. Let's get there, and then we'll work on that.
Makes sense. Last question for you.
Yeah.
If you're elected, when you make decisions as a supervisor, who determines your decisions? By that question, what I'm asking, does any particular organization influence you? And if so, which one?
Yeah, well, you can go to my donor's card. Speaks volumes, because there's a few names not on it. So my track record in Anderson is, you know, lots of prayer to get understanding, if nothing else. Talk to the experts in the field. Talk to the people doing the work. What do you really need? What are you asking for with this staff report? I'm always very proud of our staff reports. I'm a little disappointed in some of the ones I read that are not in the city of Anderson. I'm like, help me with more information. So I think that's really important. You know, I've gotten great friends who have donated to my campaign, and they're the kind of friends that don't come later and say, oh, by the way, this is what I need from you. That's not going to happen. I know their character, and so I'm very grateful for the folks who have funded the campaign.
That are respectful.
Yeah. They know me, and I know them, and that's why they gave to my campaign, you know. Yeah. And that's beautiful, because then their expectation is, Mike, you be Mike. You know, we gave to you because we know you, and we expect you to be you. And I'm confident in that. And so I think that sets me up very well to make really good, solid decisions. Now, I may reach out to some of those folks because they're very smart people.
Yeah.
You know, they have great life skills, great life experience. I absolutely would call on them.
That's more research.
100%. Yeah. But they're not the type of people that are going to go, hey, I need you to vote like this on a certain thing. So, yeah, I'm hoping to win in June. So to your voters, I'd really like to get to work and not have to campaign.
Do you encourage people to vote?
100%. Yeah, I started at 29. And for me personally, maybe I don't want to go completely back to your earlier question about elections, but I have this romantic idea that we would get back to the old days, maybe the 50s, which is a long ways back, but just where we all showed up and put our ballots and filled out our ballot. And it was just, you know, I value that. Like, I have this huge value for showing up on the voting day and going to the precinct and seeing people that you know and saying, hey, how's it going? You know, it's probably romantic.
Yeah. So, you know, I have never gone to a polling all my life.
Really?
It's always absentee because of my life.
Okay.
I'm working and gone. And
sure.
So I want to make sure I vote. So
yes. And I think we should always have provision. Like,
yes.
I'm not a, hey, you're held out. That's not where Mike Gallagher is at all. But I do feel like we've lost something on that process for those who, and I'm not judging anybody. It's just my own personal desire. And I love that. I always see somebody there that I know from the neighborhood that I haven't seen in a long time. And so for me, for Mike Gallagher, I've said this romantic notion that we would all get back to just showing up on a day to vote. Anyways.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Yes. So if somebody wants to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to reach you? Get information about your campaign.
Yeah, it's really easy. Just go to votegallagher.com. And you can drop an email into team@votegallagher.com and send me an email and reach out. You can call. I don't, many have my phone number, but just reach out by email. It's get back to you.
Better way.
Yeah, it's just more efficient for sure. But yeah.
Well, I want to thank Mike Gallagher. He's a candidate for District 5 Shasta County Board of Supervisors. This has been a presentation by KKRN 88.5 FM Community Radio called Shasta County Elections. I'm your producer and host, Lynn Fritz. We thank you for tuning in, and we both, Mike Gallagher and myself, say please vote.
Please vote.
Yes, thanks, you for joining us.